Well, g'day, mates. Can I say what a great honour and privilege it is to be able to have this opportunity to be able to speak with you. When Mr. Luca asked me if I would be interested, I should say from the beginning I do not speak very much in Australia. I prefer to serve behind the scenes rather than from the speaking situation. But when he asked me if I would like to do a small presentation on the situation in Australia and how we found the feast here in Branson, my heart said yes, but my mind said no, you shouldn't do it. But I guess I couldn't resist the opportunity to at least whet your appetite a little bit for what you may be able to expect if you ever had the opportunity to come and visit us in Australia. Can I just ask for a show of hands for those that have ever lived in Australia or visited Australia for the feast or for holidays? It's a pretty good number, actually. It's a little higher than what I expected, so you may be able to pull me up on some of the points that I'm going to give you that are not quite accurate. I didn't think I'd have so many people, but we would like to, firstly, I'd like to introduce my family a little bit more. My wife, Kayleen, and I have been married and in the church for 21 years, and my wife has been in the church ever since she was about 2 or 3 years of age. I thank my wife for very much, and one of the things that she did for me, and God actually used her to bring me into the church, so I have a lot to thank my wife for, so from that perspective. But her parents were called in the early 60s, and they serve in the work over there and worldwide, and they still serve over there in United. Kayleen's father is the office manager over there for United on the Gold Coast, and her parents, the Wrights, got to know Mr. and Mrs. Luca very well when they were there in Australia, and they have a great friendship, and we've been able to benefit from that as well, and we're very thankful for that and for the Gibsons. We, as LG, when he introduced me, I thank you for those kind words, LG. LG and Leo did spend the feast in Australia with us 2 years ago, sorry, 3 years ago originally, and we got to know them very well, very quickly, which worked out really nicely. And we harped at them and kept going with them and for about 18 months, and we talked them into coming back and joining with us last year. And we just thought that we would take the opportunity to come over this year and get to spend the feast with the Lucas and the Gibsons and the opportunity to have a look around your beautiful country here, because Australia and America have a lot in common. They're very similar, and even though there's probably not much further you can go on this beautiful earth than Australia from the US, I wouldn't think in mileage, but you'd be surprised just how much we are alike as a people. Australia, just to give you a little bit of information on Australia, for those that haven't been able to have the opportunity to be down there, the landmass of Australia is about the similar size to the US mainland, where you have 48 states and we have 6. So from that perspective, our states over there are quite large and awesome. But it's very much like Texas, I guess. We did fly into Texas for the feast and we traveled up to Branson, and I guess Texas is a very big state, and most of ours in Australia are very, very similar to that. The Prime Minister we have in Australia is very similar to your President. Unfortunately, he's not elected. He is normally the head of the party which is in power at the time. So he can be there for a number of years if he's a good Prime Minister or a bad Prime Minister, so we don't have the opportunity to get rid of them as often as what you do over here. We are not a republic. I know that the US is a republic, has been for a long time. We're a part of the Commonwealth of Great Britain. We still have the Queen of England as our head of state, we have on many occasions tried to change that by referendum, but we have a lot of older people there that served in the wars that still feel that they have an obligation and want to be part of Great Britain, and that's fine too. I mean, we're independent, but we just still do have those contacts with Great Britain, which are a little bit different than what you guys have here. You guys have approximately 260 million people in the US, I believe, give or take a couple of million. Would that be about right, 260? We only have 20 million people in the same size area, approximately. But most of you would know that the Middle of Australia is pretty much desert. It's the population in most parts live around the coastal areas, and by far a great majority of that is on the east coast of Australia where we live. And it's nice. It's different than Seattle. Seattle's a beautiful city. We've had the opportunity to be showed around over the last few days with LG and Lear and the Lucas, and we've enjoyed to see it. It is a beautiful, beautiful city. Ours is. Whereas your winter probably goes for 8 months of the year, from what I've been told. Our summer probably goes for about 8 months of the year. It does get very warm in Australia, which is a contrast to what you enjoy here. But it is amazing what different people love to see. I mean, when you guys come over to Australia, everyone asks you about the kangaroos and the koalas. And actually, I do have a little koala with me, but I'll just... this is our little... emblem, one of our little emblems. I'll just pop him up here just so it reminds you where I'm from. I'm sure the accent's enough, but he's a little guy that we brought a few of these over with us, and we handed them out to the young people in Branson, which was well accepted. It was really good. But my son Joshua and my daughter Melissa were here 2 years ago for summer camp, and they got to know some of the people here in Seattle, which they really enjoyed. But when we were on the plane and flying in, my son Joshua, who's 17, he just couldn't wait to see a squirrel. I mean, this was the highlight of his trip, just to see this little furry animal jumping around in the backyard. And we said this to the Gibsons and to the Lucas, and they were a little bit ho-hum about it. A squirrel. Oh, really nice. Yeah, we have those. They're there all the time. They're not a problem. I guess it almost took us until we got back to Seattle from the feast to actually see a live squirrel. I think we saw some ones that were roadkill on the side of the road when we were driving, but... we weren't sure whether they were squirrels or chipmunks or whatever, but from that perspective, that made Joshua's trip to America, was just seeing this little squirrel, and it was very, very nice. Whereas when you guys come over to Australia, you like to see kangaroos and koalas and possums and all of those sort of things. And where we live in Queensland, from here to where the tables are at the back, we have kangaroos that graze in a reserve behind our house, and they're pretty ho-hum to us, but and we have koalas that walk down through our yard and down onto the gum trees and that are down onto the road. If you have time afterwards, you might like to ask my wife a story about a koala that she saw walk through our yard once. It's one that she doesn't like me to tell, so I'll leave it up to her to tell a little later. So, but we do not have predators like you do here. We don't have bears and mountain lions and those sort of things. The worst ones we have are probably crocodiles and dingoes, but crocodiles are very, very scarce. They're normally in the very north part of the country, and dingoes are pretty much in the central part of Australia or on some of the islands like Fraser Island and that sort of thing. But most of you would have heard of Steve Irwin, the crocodile man or crocodile hunter. Actually, I should say at this point, if you have a really close look at LG Gibson, he could almost be Steve's brother, I think. They could be twins. They look so much alike. He really does resemble Steve Irwin. He's very, very close. And Steve's, I'm sure when LG comes to Australia, he really wants to try wrestling with one of those crocodiles like Steve does. But he has his zoo, which is only 50 minutes from where we live, and I guess I would like to promote Australia for a fantastic feast site, particularly Noosa, which is our local feast site. We have had a number of you here before to visit us there. We had Wendy last year. And Gilbert was with us last year as well. So we have had a few, and Noosa is right on the ocean. It's a beautiful site. The temperature around the feast is normally around about the low to mid 30s. So it's swimming weather. It's fantastic. We have about 300... Sorry? Oh, sorry. Celsius? Sorry. I'm not sure on the conversion, but I think it's, would that be mid-80s to 90s or something like that? Okay, well, sorry about that. I should have said that. You're probably thinking, boy, are they good in Australia or what? They go swimming when it's 30 degrees Fahrenheit. No, we're not quite that good. We're probably a little worse than the visitors because we get so much of the heat and the sun. We only go in when it's really, really hot, so... we're a little bit scared of the water when it comes to that. Actually, when my wife and I first started dating, she's giving me a stare. I shouldn't maybe tell this story, but because I wasn't in the church and she was, I'd ask her to go out on the Sabbath, and her excuse why she wouldn't come was that she was scared of the sharks and didn't want to come to the ocean. So, but that's okay. She's got over that over the years, and it's not a problem anymore. But just a little bit on Noosa. Noosa is a beautiful feast site. It's about 320 people we have there. That's the biggest site in Australia. We have four sites. Noosa is one. Maribula, which is in New South Wales, is another. We have a small one in Tasmania of 55 people, and we have a very small one in Perth, which is on the west coast of Australia, which is only about between 16 and 20 people, because we have that over there because we have an older population over there, and many of them, because of health problems or because of financial restraint, they cannot travel to the east coast, which is quite a long way. So we have a feast site over there as well. But I'm a bit biased. I would think that Noosa is probably the best one. And I think you'd enjoy it over there. You'd have a great time. It's the temperature's great. The brethren are friendly. And we're very close, as I said, to the Crocodile Hunters Zoo. We have the Great Barrier Reef, which is only a couple of hours' drive north where it starts and goes all the way up to Coast to Cairns. And you can do some great diving there. I mean, if you're into diving or snorkeling, I would suggest it's probably one of the best areas in the world for that. It's absolutely beautiful, pristine beaches, just absolutely fantastic. And we'd love to have you. We'd just make you feel at home if you wanted to come on down and visit with us. It would be really good. Just to give a little bit of information on the church in Australia, I just thought I would give a little bit of information on United. United started in 1995, the same as it did here in America, and virtually the same circumstances caused United to start in Australia as caused United to start here. And Mr. and Mrs. Luker were the first ministers to come and visit us in United when the mid part of the 95 when United started, and they helped us greatly in getting started in United. It was a privilege for me to be part of the first group that. There were seven of us that met around the minister's table and talked about getting United started over there, and it was very exciting because we had left probably 6 or 8 weeks earlier and we weren't sure what was going to happen. We know that we are commanded in the Bible in Hebrews 10 to congregate together, and we were not going to have that opportunity very much because we were very scattered, and there was only about 3 or 4 families that left at the same time as us. But there was a lot of people that we didn't know of that had either left or separated themselves from our previous association, and they were looking for a home as well. So when we started it was the first Sabbath before Pentecost in 1995, and we had around about 55 or 60 people for that, and it was pretty exciting for a lot of us because it was a new start and everyone was involved in getting things going and happening, and it's just gone from strength to strength since then. As I said, we only have a small portion of what we used to have. We have about 600 people in United in Australia, as compared to about 6,000 that we had in our previous association. So we have about 10%. So from that perspective, it's a small flock, but it works really well. We have 4 full-time ministers. We have what we call 3 regional pastors. We have Mr. Bradford, who looks after virtually the whole of the Queensland congregation, and I believe he has family here as well. And we do look forward to meeting them after church if we can get the opportunity. And I guess we can at least guarantee we'll see them down in Australia at some stage for the feast, which will be really nice. But there's Mr. Bradford, who looks after that area. We have Mr. Bruce Dean, who looks after the New South Wales church. And we have Mr. Barry Williams, who looks after the Victorian and Tasmanian churches. So, and we have a new gentleman, Mr. Steve Clark, who has just been hired in the work. And he is actually serving under Mr. Bradford in Brisbane as a trainee. And I'm sure when Mr. Bradford feels he's ready, he will be given a responsibility, because there is a lot to be done in Australia, and it is a very big country that we need to get around. It would be remiss of me if I didn't mention the September 11th, 2001 issue that happened over here. I mean, it's a tragedy, a terrible, terrible thing. And from an Australian perspective, the concern and the grief that was expressed by Australians, not only within the church, but as a nation, was very great. We felt a great deal for our brethren and just as a nation for the US, because it was a tragedy that was beyond belief. No one ever expected it. When it took place, my wife and I were asleep, and we got a phone call about 2 o'clock in the morning from a friend in the church that said, "Look, put your television on, America's under attack. And, you know, mind just boggles, woken up in the middle of the night with this information. We just jumped out of bed and turned the television on. And as most of you would have, well, all of you would have seen with the Twin Towers and the Pentagon and all of that situation, we just looked in just awe. It was just unbelievable. We couldn't believe it was happening. It was like a bad movie. So I know from an Australian perspective that the prayers of many people within the church were with all of the people in the US. And we felt great grief for you all when that happened. It was a very sad and terrible thing. And I know that the Australian church did send a message over, which was on behalf of all of the churches in Australia and the brethren. But I want you to know that even the Australian normal people, I was at a sales conference at the time, a sales fair, and there was people that just weren't there because they were so shocked by the events that took place, and they just couldn't believe what had happened, and the Australian people as a whole were just very, very, very shocked indeed. I just would like to give a few comments on Branson, which was our first beach site outside of Australia since 1981. We went to the Solomon Islands in 1981, my wife and I, before we had any children. And we were very, very impressed with Branson. It was a beautiful feast site. It was a lovely group of people. And it was extremely encouraging. The messages that we received there were fantastic meat. They were well prepared, well presented. And the location is just a fantastic one. I don't know how many people have been to Branson for a feast, but I can recommend it. It was a great time. Mr. Blackwell did a great job in preparing it, getting it ready. We have a great relationship with the people that own the auditorium in which we had services. It was a fantastic environment and just really, really good. To me, it was a traditional feast. I mean, the messages were all about the millennium, the world tomorrow, what we have to look forward to in those areas. And I think that's what we look forward to, the feast, those sort of messages that, you know, God wants us to be reminded of those fantastic time when Christ will return to this earth and establish his government. We will not have any more of the wars and that type of thing that was discussed in the sermon a little earlier, and there will not be people having being standing on landmines and those sort of things. And we really, truly do look forward to that, and that's a fantastic thing that we can all look forward to, being part of God's church. And I think, to me, the theme was very much preparing a people. I think that it was very much orientated towards the brethren. I was very encouraged when Mr. Luca mentioned about the new venture that's being undertaken with the ministry, with our servant leadership. I think that's very encouraging. We look forward to being able to have that in Australia as well, I'm sure, and the National Council in Australia would be eagerly waiting to hear how that goes, and wanting to introduce that in Australia as well. But one of the speakers there, Mr. James Neff, who is from Texas, did make, well, his sermon that was excellent, but he did make a very interesting comment, which he indicated that he's been in the church a long time, and two of the major words that he loves to hear when he's sitting in the congregation from the speaker is "in conclusion." So in conclusion, I would just like to say that the beauty of God's church, one of the fantastic things, is that no matter where you go in the world and whatever congregation you go to visit, that the love and the friendliness of the people there, it's just, you always feel at home. You can be in your own church area or you can be 12,000 miles away, and no matter where you are, you know that it's God's people by the way they welcome you and the way they make you feel great. So I'd just like to, I believe that in John 13, just to finish on, God's people truly are fulfilling the commandment which Christ gave us, which is, it was a new commandment, which is, I give unto you, it's John 13, 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, and that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. My wife and I and my children would truly love to get to meet as many as you as we can after services, and we look forward to that with great anticipation.